And verse number 7 is where we will begin. I had mauled over the idea of a song, and then as I prayed over it, I didn't have no liberty. Amen. You ever been there? I was looking around, and I know she went to the nursery. I seen her as she was getting to walk out, but we got a new baby in the service today, don't we? Very first church service, right? Amen. I see you back there, proud grandpa. Yeah. Amen. And so Maddie has her baby here, and praise the Lord for that. Please remind me the baby's name. Just left my mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all we need. They got that thing up in Pigeon Forge. Amen. Things you never thought you'd hear in church. I love you, Brother David. That's some good stuff right there. Welcome to Gateway, if this is your first time. Amen. I love that. I love the name Oliver O.J. I like that. I'm going to have to remember that. John chapter number 10 and verse number 7. Let me say this. I'm glad that I'm at a church where I can be joyful and smile and know that the presence of the Lord is inhabiting our praise, and we've been praising Him, and now it come time to preach, and I'm like you. I prayed and thought and prayed, but the Lord always sends stuff right on time, right when we need it. All right, John 10, verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Heavenly Father, I need you. I need you, Lord, to touch my voice and my throat and my lungs, my breathing. Lord, I need you to help me as I attempt to preach this morning. Give me the right words to say. Recall to my mind what I've studied. Lord, I cannot do this on my own and in and of my own ability. I need you, Lord. Father, your people need you. The church needs you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be exalted and I would be abased. You would be lifted up, Lord, and I would be brought low. I pray, God, that as I preach this morning, that some sinner somewhere will hear the call of salvation. They will see their need to be saved. And they will come to the saving knowledge of you, Lord, before it is everlasting too late. Have your will and your way. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, we have just come through where the blind man was given his sight. The man that had been born blind, he was given his sight. And so because of that, this man who had been born blind was drawn out of Israel's fold and into the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we must understand there's a big difference between a fold and a flock. And that's why that Jesus said later on down here that there's other sheep that he has. And there'll be a day when there'll be one fold. And not just one flock, but one fold. And so I can't go into too great a detail with that, but in verse number 7, Jesus makes a statement that he is the door of the sheep. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if you know me, you know that I work on doors and locks, and that's what I've been doing for the last 3-4 years, 8 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week. And I understand the importance of proper egress. Some of you don't even know what that word means. It means how it opens and closes. I understand the significance of each individual screw that's in that door. I understand the significance of the speed of the closer. All of these things that seem like they don't matter, we take them for granted. We walk out these doors every single service. We walk out of them. Now, I tell you this, if one of those hinges got bent or if that closer malfunctioned, you'd take notice that something was wrong with the door. And it would go from being unimportant to extremely important. Those doors that I work on, they're classrooms. They keep our babies safe when we send them to school. So those doors are paramount of importance. Amen. It's extremely important. And so that door needs to be tough. It needs to be able to withstand certain abuse. It needs to be able to open and close properly. It needs to function as it should. So I have this understanding of doors in my mind. So when I read this and I read that Jesus is the door of the sheep, that meant something to me. Maybe just a little bit more than what it did, but I got to thinking about a door. Do you know what a door does? A door divides. A door secures. A door opens. I know that's very simplistic, isn't it? Well, the door opens. Well, of course it opens, preacher. You let a door not open and you'll be upset that it didn't open. A door opens. A door provides access. And Jesus made the profound statement here of saying, I am not just a door among many doors. I am the door of the sheep. I am the only way. He put it like that in John chapter number 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the door of the sheep. See, in Bible times, and I talked a little bit about this on Sunday night, but in Bible times, a sheepfold would have been a hedge of rocks piled up or thick, rough plants that could keep a sheep from escaping and wandering off. And in one place of that hedge, there would be an opening for entry and exit. And there was no gate there in the sense of we might think, when we think of a sheepfold, we might think of a cow pasture, something like that. And we might think of a gate that would swing open and would allow us to get in there, or if the bull's chasing you, to get out of there. Amen. Some of y'all ain't never been chased by a bull, and it shows. You ain't never run across a pasture begging for your life, amen? You don't want to go through the barbed wire. You want to go through the gate. You want to get out of there as quick as you possibly can. We have this idea of what a sheepfold is and what it was in Jesus' day, but in that opening, there wouldn't be a gate. There wouldn't be anything there. That way, when it came time to put the sheep in the fold, the shepherd could lead them in there, and as they would go in there, he would stand at that opening, and he would count the sheep.
He would take note of anything about their body. He would take note of anything about their fur. Y'all getting this? He knew them. He understood them. He watched them, and they knew him too. And then when all of the sheep were entered into the fold, that shepherd would do something incredible. He would do something absolutely amazing. When he knew everybody was in and everybody was safe, that shepherd would lay down across that opening of that sheepfold, and any predator that wanted to come in would either have to go through the rocks, over the rocks, or through the rough plants that were out there, or they would have to go through the shepherds. Now, I don't know if you know this about predators or not, but they take the path of least resistance. They're not interested in trying to fight something just to get some food. They'll go hunt something easier. Matter of fact, some of the things that we think are the most majestic animals in the world ain't nothing but scavengers. Did y'all know that? They'll let something else kill it, and then they'll come take it over. Yeah, eagles do that. Y'all okay? Eagles do that. Lions do that. You can imagine this shepherd is there with all of the sheep that he knows intimately. He's laid down across the doorway or the opening of that sheepfold, and anything that's going to come in there and harm those sheep is going to have to come through the shepherd. So he becomes the dividing line between safety and security and the things that are outside in the world. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Now, you might be standing here this morning or sitting here this morning, and you're hanging in the balance between the safety and security of being inside the fold or being out in the world. And the dividing line, friend, is whether or not you will choose to go through the Lord Jesus Christ as the great shepherd. What will you do as he lays across the doorway and you are needing to enter in? You can't go on the other side. You can't climb over the rocks. You can't go through the hedge of rough bushes. You must enter in by the shepherd, by the door. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Jesus proclaims himself as the door, and it is by him and him alone that the sheep are opened up into a new spiritual life. See, you think you've got everything figured out. You think you've got all your T's crossed and all your I's dotted, and you think that you have great understanding. See, we're just foolish enough to believe that we can think ourselves into a spiritual place and we can reach a spiritual place where we can take care of ourselves. Goes something like this in the South. I'm a pretty good old boy. I don't hurt nobody. I don't bother nobody. I just do my own thing. I go my own way. All the while you need Jesus. Can I get an amen right there? Y'all okay? Y'all all right? All the while we tell ourselves everything's all right between me and the Lord. I got everything under control. Me and Jesus got our own thing figured out. Jesus said, "I'm y'all okay? Don't you drop on me because I used a line from a country song." We take that personal aspect of our salvation to the utmost limit, and you think you can create some kind of law between you and God, and God's got to honor your system and how you think God ought to be. God said, "I'm the door. And unless you come by me, you're not coming in." You're delusional if you believe that you're going to come in some other way just because you're a good old boy and everything's all right. You think everything's all right. You pillow your head at night and the Holy Spirit sits down with you, says, "You ought to get right with me. I got so much more for you. I got plans for you. I got things I can do with you, but you won't get right with me." Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Oh my. In verses 8 through 10, about said 8 through 11. Watch what the Bible says here. Y'all don't mind a little expository preaching, do you? "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." I remember one time, a long time ago, someone asked me, "Does that mean that all the prophets were thieves and robbers?" Nope. Because they pointed to Jesus, not away from him. It is these religious elites. I love that term. Because that's what they believe themselves to be. I got everything figured out. You're more religious, you're more traditional. You got all the tradition that you can handle. You can stand. I know people that won't listen to music because it ain't out of the Redback hymnal. That's tradition! Y'all okay? I have seen people, watch this. Now I'm gonna get a little doctrine on you. Y'all gonna be okay? I like this old book. I like the songs that's in here. Did you know that this book, it is a book. It is not a spiritual book. It is not a scriptural book. It is a song book. I want to help you this morning. It is not this book. It is not to be compared to this book. It in no way has the power of this book. Y'all okay? And so, here we are in the Baptist church. Take a Church of God book, shout it out on a Church of Christ song. Y'all okay? And then talk about what a good meeting we had today. Let me help you with some doctrine. Jesus is the only way. You want a spiritual experience? You exalt Christ, not a song. You want a spiritual experience? You exalt Christ, not your emotions. Somebody say amen right there. The thieves and the robbers are all of those that have taken tradition and made them more important than Bible truth. And as long as tradition takes precedence over truth, then sin will rule in the church. And these are the thieves and the robbers. Well-intentioned individuals who say, well, if you ain't doing it this way, then it ain't going to be done. Friend of mine, oh my. Are y'all okay? How shallow to believe that a psalm... Did you know that they make these in green and blue too? Y'all all right? And some churches don't believe you ought to have a green one if you got a red one. And some of them don't believe you ought to have a green one if you got a blue one. That is tradition. And as long as tradition takes precedence over truth, we have a problem inside our church. These are the things that have came before Christ. They've been put before the truth of the gospel. And because of that, we have seen damage in the church. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. I'm not just talking about songbooks. I'm talking about men as were in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. They put their traditions ahead of what the Bible, what the Scripture, they sat in front of the spoken Word of God, and they rejected what they saw. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. They chose their tradition. Jesus did nothing wrong. Jesus lived an utterly sinless life. And at the end of His life, they cried, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And that wicked prefactor of Israel said, "Why? What wrong hath He done?" And they cried the more loud, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" People sensitive about their traditions. And traditions are thieves and robbers of true spirituality. Jesus said again in verse number 9, "I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus, He is the defender of the sheep. He's the defender of those false shepherds. Jesus is the true shepherd. And so the Lord describes Himself in verse number 9 by saying, I am the door. And that's the same thing that he said. He's reiterating. He's saying it again. Verse number 9, verse number 7. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Acts put it like this, or the book of Acts that put it like this, whether it was Luke or whether it was Paul that wrote, I personally believe it was Luke that penned much of the book of Acts as well as the book of Luke. And so in the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, we read these words, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I like these two little words that are in that verse there, if any. If any. Anyone can be saved. Did you know that? You take the worst, most vilest, ungodly sinner that you know. You take the most destitute person that you know. And through the power of God, they can be saved. They can be born again. Anyone can be saved. And guess this, Christ can save anyone. There ain't nobody bad enough. Ain't no dude bad enough that the grace of God can't reach down and sit down with him. I have walked through the prisons and I have watched great big mean men crumble at the mention of Jesus. That's why the name of Jesus is so hated throughout the world. It is because there is power in that name. I have also watched people reject Him, but I have seen those Christ rejectors also come to a place where they were desperate for help and for hope, and the Word of God go into where they are and sit down next to them and tell them that they're loved, tell them that they are able to be saved and that their lives can be transformed if they'll just come through Jesus Christ. And I've watched vile, wretched men be born again with the simple gospel message being preached. Did you know that you don't have to fluff up the gospel and make it look better? You don't have to paint a picture of Jesus and make Him look so inviting that nobody'd want to turn Him away. Let them be confronted with the gospel message. Hey, here it is. Jesus died for your sins because He loves you. You don't have to love Him back, but in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You know who the ungodly is? Me, you, we are the ungodly. And while we are in our sinful state, someone died for us. And while you did not know Him, He knows you. And He loves you. And He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to grow you. He wants to see you be born again. Neither is there salvation in any other, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can be born again because Christ can save anyone. I like seeing them big bad dudes when their hearts get broken. My grandfather, I called him a pawpaw, was a drunk, and so was most of his family. And some God-fearing preacher went by his house. I don't know who the man was, but I'm going to find him one day in glory. And told him he needed to get right with the Lord and invited him to a Brush Arbor meeting. Papa went and sat in that Brush Arbor meeting and he got saved. He got born again. And because he got saved, the Lord has done some great works and is still doing work. I'm standing here, I'm the youngest of 31 grandchildren. I'm the baby. But I can't help but think where my life would be had some old leather lung preacher not got up there and preached the gospel that night in that Brush Harbor meeting. I have their reprints. They're not the actual thing, but I have reprints of John Wesley's journals. You can get them and read them. They're relatively cheap, like $20 for 6 books. And it's some hard reading. It is hard reading. But did you know that in July of 1735, John Wesley, the great founder of Methodism, John Wesley, the great man of God that he was, stood in Savannah, Georgia, and preached the gospel in July of 1735. Where would my family be had somebody not crossed the treacherous sea and came to this little town in Georgia and preached the gospel? What could God do with you if you got surrendered and you got obedient and you let the Lord work in through and with your life? How He could change you, how He could work in you. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." I like to stop right there and just kind of meditate on that first sentence. For God so loved the world. What is the world, preacher? Think about all the ugly, ungodly things that are happening right now. Because while we're in church worshiping the Lord and you're in church listening to a preacher, there's some bad stuff happening right now. We must not be ignorant to that. And the Bible says that God so loved the world. He loves those people that are committing those heinous acts. He loves those people that we don't love. He cares about those who have hurt us. He cares about those who have abused us. He loves those who do not love Him. See, we forget that we were at enmity against God. And it is not because we woke up one morning and decided that we wanted to love Jesus that He loves us. It is because He first loved us that we love Him. And so He gives us this privilege, if you will, of saying, "I love you in the condition that you're in the sin that you're committing, I love you. And I want to bring you out of that." And He has the power and the ability, for God so loved the world. So not only did He so love the world, but He gave to the benefit of this world. And not did He just give, He gave His most prized possession, His only begotten Son, for this purpose, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 10:43 said, "To him give all the prophets witness." That's why the prophets were not thieves and liars, because they gave witness to the coming King. Amen. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And Romans 10:13, "The time has already come, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." True shepherd, he secures his sheep. Y'all okay? I thought I was going to get down to verse number 21, but it ain't looking like it, being that we're in verse 9 and 10 still. I should have started my watch as a workout. The true shepherd secures. Verse number 10, the first part of it. Look here with me. It says, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. The thief is a threat, but the Lord wraps us up in His protection. I'm not wrapped up in my own protection. My protection will fail. My strong guards and my stalwarts will fall, but the Lord is holding me. John 10, 28 through 30 said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." That means He's greater than me. That means it's not me that's keeping me, it's Him that's keeping me. He is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I believe it's in the book of 1 John. The Bible says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And with the temptation, God will make a way of escape. Do you know what that way of escape is? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We don't have to succumb to the things of the world. We don't have to allow those things to overtake us. We don't have to allow the temptations of the world to overrun us. Because with the temptation that we go through, God has made a way of escape. And this way of escape is His Son, Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to save yourself. You can't save yourself. You must be born again. This shepherd that we have secures us. This true shepherd that we have, he satisfies us. Look here at this last part of verse number 10. Oh, let's just read the whole verse. How about that? Can't have enough Bible in your Bible message, can you? "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Physically, we have life. I look around this room and I see people who are physically alive, and I'm thankful for that. Religiously, there is a life. It's not a good one. It's a hard life. But in Christ, we have abundant life. That doesn't just mean that we get to do all the fun things that we want to do. I love to run. I don't think there's a time in my life that I feel any more alive than when I'm running up a hill, my heart rate is 180 beats per minute, and I'm doing everything I can to stay upright. And then I crest the top of that hill and I look back and I say, "I just made it." Some of you saying, "Well, I like eating a steak." Well, so do I. That ain't what makes me feel alive. What makes me feel alive is my heart beating inside of my chest. And that fresh air coming in my lungs, releasing that carbon dioxide out of my body, so that the plants can turn green. Don't act like y'all done forgot what photosynthesis is. We need them, they need us. Going back to third grade science this morning, ain't we? We get to feel alive, we have that physical life. But when a spiritual heal comes, y'all all right? And I look up that hill and I go, "I can't run up this hill." That old shepherd,
come here. Know what that shepherd does? That shepherd stands at the bottom of that hill with me. And he says, let's go. And we go right on up that hill. And we get to the top and our heart ain't beating hard. We ain't out of breath. Because our strength and our ability ain't what carried us up that hill. It's Him. It's Him. You pretty good actor, you know that? You done good on that. We have that abundant life in Christ that makes us feel alive. Not only do we have abundant life, but we have eternal life. Amen. There's something beyond this veil. There's more than just what's here. And thank God, there's life. There's not eternal death. There's eternal death waiting those who have not surrendered to the Lord and have not trusted Him as their Savior. But there is eternal life waiting on the other side of Jordan for those who know the Lord. There's a spiritual life in Him. There's peace and there's joy and there's hope. When hopelessness seems to be ruling the day, there's hope in Christ. There's joy for the journey. There's grace for trials. All of this comes in the abundant life. One old preacher preached a whole message one time, and he said this little phrase that stuck with me. Ain't nobody like Him. Ain't nobody like Jesus. I'm come to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. Watch this. I'm going to preach verse number 11 and I'll be done. I don't even have this in my notes. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for His sheep. The price has already been paid. Redemption is paid in full. All you must do is trust Jesus today. They're going to come and get us a song of invitation. I know typically I go right into praying. I'm just trying to be obedient. My, I wouldn't go away today until I knew the door of the sheep was my good shepherd. He alone is able to satisfy your longing and help you with whatever you need. I'm thankful I know Him. Lord, what a wonderful Savior You are. Help Your people. Help Your church. Give grace. Lord, give strength. Lord, touch the hearts and lives of these dear people today. I ask this in Your holy name. Would you stand with us?